This evening, we are blessed to be reading from, analyzing, and discussing from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We opened up to chapter 18. Verse 65. Manmana bhava bad bhakto. Vajati mam namaskuru. Mame vaishasi satyante. Patitane priyosime. Translation. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who, in such pure Krishna consciousness, will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and a peacock feather in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi-forms such as Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the dearmost friend of Krishna's. There's a saying, don't make promises you can't keep. So sometimes we break our promise, but Krishna, he never breaks his promise. He's infallible. This is a very important verse of Bhagavad Gita. Some of our acharyas consider this to be the essence of the Gita and the most important instruction of the Gita, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Essentially, this verse is the essence of religion, or reviving one's dormant relationship with God. That's the purpose of religion. The word religion, the root verb of religion, Mandira, is reglio. It's Latin, right? Reglio is the verb. Reglio in Latin means to reconnect with. And Prabhupada would sometimes say like that. That also yoga. Yoga means to connect with the Absolute. So the two words, religion with reglio, to connect, and yoga, they have the same purport. To reconnect. Like, the relationship's broken. We broke up with Krishna. We broke up with Krishna. Actually, our relationship with Krishna is never really broken. We've simply forgotten the relationship. Just like the child in the womb of its mother. Although the child is completely dependent upon the mother via the umbilical cord, the child doesn't know the mother exists. Baby's in the womb. Where's the baby getting the nourishment? It's not eating, but the embryo's growing. If you go to the doctor and they have that ultrasound, they put that cream on your belly, the cold cream, and then they, not that I was pregnant. I had some indigestion. No, no. Some indigestion, so they're looking like this. And then there's a screen, you can see everything there. So the mothers, they can look over, and they can see every month they're coming in, and the embryo's growing. Growing, growing like this. And then you can see, you look closely, you can see it's boy or girl like that, and then so on, so then. So, how is the child growing? It's not eating through the mouth, it's getting all the nourishment through the umbilical cord. Like that. So the child is 100% dependent upon the mother, but the child doesn't have a clue that the mother even exists. Right? In the same way, although we are completely dependent upon God for everything, nitya nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ekobahanam yovadi dati kamam, the Upanishad state, that out of all the created beings, there is one, Eka, Krishna, who is fulfilling the desires of every other living being, one God. Man proposes and God disposes. So everything that we have in our lives is actually a gift of God. Everything. So we are completely dependent upon Him. But at the present moment, to greater or lesser degrees, we're ignorant of that fact. To greater degree if you're a demigod, to lesser degree if you're Indragopa, the smallest insect the Brahma Samhita describes. More like a virus or an amoeba. But for want of words, the translation is insect. Insects get that, but amoebas. Every living being is aware of that fact to greater or lesser degrees. Except the atheists. They denounce the existence of God. This is like a blind man denouncing the existence of the sun. There is no sun. I am convinced 100% there is no sun. So although we're dependent on God, we denounce Him. This is our foolishness. So the relationship is always there. And that process of reviving that relationship, that's religion. That's the goal of religion. Why is that important? Because some people are religious and some aren't, so some may consider that not very important. But it's important, just like if you never knew who your father was, and then suddenly someone announced that your father is in the area, you wouldn't want to go see him? The natural curiosity is there, isn't it? Or even stronger, a strong desire to see that your father, of whose you are his blood and flesh. My father's father, he left home when my father was 4. I also left home when my son was 4, took sannyas. We don't do that anymore. I'm not trying to set an example here. But he left and he went to on a sailing ship to Tahiti. He was a romantic adventurer, my grandfather. So he went on a sailing ship down the way where the nights are gay. The sun sets daily on the mountaintop. Took a trip on a sailing ship, and when a jeep reached Jamaica, made a stop. Harry Belafonte. So that's mood. Down the way where the nights are gay, it's a daily on the mountain. Don't cry, sorry. So he left, and then he never came back. And my father was always searching for him. And when I was a boy, we'd sometimes go to the public library and look up facts and figures and engage a private detective one time and all this. And I kept saying, Daddy, what are you doing? He's gone. He said, no, I want to meet my father. I want to meet my father. So when I was a teenager, I remember, my father got a call from the police department that his father, my grandfather, was now living in Chicago. We lived in San Francisco. I remember that very hour my father packed his bags. And he was out the door to the airport. And he flew out there. And he came back 3 days later with a long, sad face. And he wouldn't tell us, because we were children, what happened. But my mother told me later on that my father arrived in Chicago and the police knew where his father was, but he was a homeless man. Didn't have any money. He was living in a shelter. And he passed away the day before my father arrived. And he was put in a grave. They call that pauper's grave, poor man's grave, with just the name there on the little cross. My father was, don't cry. You should cry for yourselves. We have lost Krishna. When we cry those types of tears, those tears are purifying. Tears of separation from Krishna. But this story helps us understand that the sentiment should be placed in a transcendental way. So that's our we should be curious. Krishna says in the Gita that he's the seed-giving father of every living entity. So we have so much respect for our mother and father in this world. How much more respect and how much more a connection and relationship we should have with the original father, because that relationship is eternal. The relationships we have in this world, they are coming and they're going. There was once a king and his wife, it's described in the Bhagavatam, they could not have children. They were trying to conceive a child, a boy, to carry on the dynasty. It was not possible, so by destiny, one sage came to the palace, and the king inquired from him, because the sages, they have their siddhis, by dint of their purification, the superior powers of the soul become manifest. Prabhupada said one time, pure devotees of Krishna also have full mystic powers, like Jesus. He walked on the water and cured the sick and brought back the dead. He was a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, generally the pure devotees don't manifest these mystic cities, so they don't want the public to follow them for that reason. They want the public to follow them for their message of Krishna consciousness, not because they're siddhis. So this sage had mystic powers, and the king inquired, sir, can you help us conceive a child? Yeah, I can do it. I can do it. That is, yeah, sure. But he looked into the eyes of the king, and he could see the karma, eyes of the light of the soul. He could see that person's being. And he said, but this son will be the source of happiness and distress to you. And sometimes we only hear what we want to hear. You know what I mean? So the king said, no, that's okay. But happiness and distress. He'll be the source of great happiness and great distress. So, yes, happiness. So the sage gave the queen one mango to eat. And she ate the mango. And not because she ate the mango, but there was some potency created there. Later they conceived a child. And the whole kingdom was just in bliss. The prince is coming. And after 9 months, the boy was born, and he was a very beautiful boy. Just like our devotees when they have children. They're very often exceptionally beautiful. They look like devatas. I often say to the parents, did you order that child? It looks like you can put the face of that baby on the baby bottles. You know, the little vegetables and fruits that ground up they have for children? And they have a little baby's picture on the front. See the devoted children. That baby, the old face can go on the baby food. Very handsome boy. And time went on, and he was growing the baby. But the co-wives of the queen became jealous. They became envious. But they didn't. She was the queen mother. So they conspired. Is that a word? Conspired? Conspired to kill the child. Such is life. With its twists and its turns and its irony. of life, the duality of material existence. Dukalaya mashashvatam, Krishna summarizes. So they poisoned the child in the crib one day, in the early mornings, and the mother came, the queen came, and she saw the dead baby. I cannot think of something more painful for a woman than to have her child die before her. Nature's way is a mother passes away before the child, but life is so cruel that sometimes it's the other way. My sister, a few weeks ago, she lost her eldest son, and I had to console her. My little sister, well, she's not so little, but she's in her 50s, but her elder son died, and I had to console her. And, you know, it was no time for philosophy because it was a time for mourning and lamentation. I just had to hug my sister. For hours, I just hugged her and hugged her, and she was crying. My whole sleeve was wet. But this is life sometimes. So the king and the queen, oh, especially the queen, she's crying and crying. And the king said to the sage came back, I didn't get to say goodbye, there was no closure. Please, can I just speak to my son one time? So the sage said yes. So he, with this mystic power, he contacted that soul. And in the presence of everyone, he said, "Dear spirit soul, you left so quickly by the cruel fate of this world, you left so quickly, your mother and father want to speak to you." So the voice came through the ether. "Which mother and father?" "Sir, I have had so many mothers and fathers in my sojourn through material existence." And it's true. "Brahmanda brahmati konya bhagivan jeev, guru krishna prashad bhai bhakti lata bheej." There's much, it's pregnant with meaning, that verse, actually. "Brahmanda brahmati konya." We've been traveling from universe to universe, from species of life to species of life, from body to body. You know, we've had unlimited. Prabhupada said we've been in this material world since time immemorial. Because you can't, even a computer can't calculate a mathematical figure which can equate how many births we've been in this world. Whoa. You just see the numbers, and 1, 2, 3, 4, infinity, ad infinitum. And space. And we think, we look in the mirror, "Here I am." Hello. You could look in the past, you'd see a king and a queen and a pauper and a scientist and a fool and a cat and a dog and a demigod and a snake from the lower planet. You! Really? Yeah. So the boy said, "I've had so many mothers, I've had so many brothers, so many fathers, so many sisters, so many uncles. Which one is it?" So when the boy, whether the spirit soul, said that, somehow it had an effect on the king and the queen, and they became equipoised. Dehinosmin yataradehe kovanam yovanam jara tatatayantaraspaptirdhirastatanamuyanti. As we know, that's a famous verse, that the spirit soul is going from the body of a baby through boy, youth, middle-aged, old man, and then dies. But the important point is, dhiras tatta namuyanti. Dhira means sober. A sober person, by dint of knowledge, he's not bewildered, he's not confused by such a change. He understands these things, and he's prepared. He's prepared. If you go home tonight, you're going to put on your pajamas. It's not a traumatic thing. "Oh my God, I have to take off my clothes. Put my pajamas on!" No. You just take off your clothes and put on your pajamas. Right? So for a sage, for a seer of the truth, who sees things as they are, not by emotion, but by dint of his intelligence, he sees through the scripture that the change of body at death is like changing pajamas. It's like, "Oh, okay. My new birth." Maybe she could tell us a little bit of what it was like to change her pajamas about 6 months ago. Know what I mean? How old is she?
She's 13 weeks.
13 weeks. Oh, she's so cute. Maybe she had the body of an old sage about a year ago. You don't have to think of her like that. It's okay. So when the boy said that transcendental fact, Then the king and the queen, they became pacified. We are just like, you know, spirit souls, like crossing each other's paths as friends and as neighbors and as different people of different countries and brothers and sisters. And next life, we cross paths again in different capacities like that. This is the bigger picture, the bird's eye view of things. But where, from whence has it all come? It's all, so we have, you know, my father, my mom, my brother, my sister, my country. I said the other day, we have one famous hero in my country, America. He was a patriot in the war with the British. Uh-oh, I'm getting in trouble here. You know, we Americans are like, revolutionary. Your king wouldn't let us go. So.
I'm Indian.
You better listen carefully to this class. We are spirit soul. Listen carefully. Tatsunu. Krishna says to Arjuna, listen carefully. So, that patriot was captured by the British and he was hung by the neck. So they said to him, do you have any last words? You know, they do that before they hang you. And he said, yes. I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. When I was a boy, I used to cry when I heard that. Yes. God bless America. The free, the home of the brave. Very strong identity to our bodies, to our family, to our society, to the land of birth. And from the transcendental point of view, we have to see otherwise, because that's all temporary. It's here today and gone tomorrow. The emotion is there, but the emotion comes from the original relationship with Krishna. And then that relationship will never be disappointed, because that relationship is eternal. So in this lifetime, not disrespecting our present situation and our family members and countrymen, we strive to revive that lost relationship. We take spiritual birth. Like when the child comes out of the womb, then opens his eyes, Mommy! Well, not exactly the first day, right? Ladies, it's a little later, right? But then, gradually, the child's eyes, as the child matures, begins to recognize mom and dad. So as we take our spiritual birth through diksha, through initiation, then our eyes are awoken gradually, and we see Krishna. Face to face, Prabhupada said here. Face to face. One time Prabhupada told Bhavananda that when you get back to the spiritual world, your spiritual master is waiting for you, and he takes you by the hand, and he leads you into the kunja, and he introduces you to Krishna. And he places your hand in Krishna's hand, and he leaves you alone together for a while. This is what we have to look forward to. And that relationship, Ananda Buddhi Bhadavama, it goes on and on and on, and deeper and deeper and deeper, the loving exchange. So, yes, we have to become religious. That's the point, to become religious, to reglio, to reconnect. But that's not so much the mode anymore. Our forefathers were much more religious than we were. Otherwise, where have all these beautiful churches come from? Every country has its religious tradition, and generally the forefathers were better at it than we are, and therefore they established beautiful churches and temples and synagogues and mosques. They're very beautiful because the devotion of people was much stronger in days of yore. In this country, in every country I go, I like to see the religious relics, like some of the mosques I see in Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan. Amazing. I went to Samarkand, which is considered by some people to be the original Mecca, Samarkand. And wow, the mosques there were just gorgeous, hundreds and hundreds of years old. I was like, wow, Hare Krishna, Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah. I almost stayed. I read the Quran. The devotion of the people was so impressive. I was a little jealous. And the Jews have their beautiful synagogues. The old synagogues are amazing structures. And the old temples in India. And here in England, the old churches, they're very beautiful. Unfortunately, I saw an advertisement the other day. They were selling the church. And then someone, we were driving on the road, and we passed by a church, but it had become a bar. And they had disco there. I couldn't believe it. And then he said there's about 5 or 6 like that in London. Oh my gosh. So this is Kali Yuga. So we know. Gradually things decrease. Religion, truthfulness, mercy, austerity, the pillars of religion decrease. So Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasrisu kaschid yatati shidhaye. Out of many millions of men and women, perhaps one is interested in the science of the absolute truth. And out of those few, hardly one knows me, he said. So rare is it to become Krishna conscious. When they said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are a great Vaishnava. Prabhupada lowered his head. He said, a Vaishnava? I'm trying to become a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is a very special thing. To become a pure devotee of Vishnu or Krishna, Vaishnava. So, it's all decreasing. So, that was the end of the Pura Yuga. Krishna quoted that verse, or said that verse. Amongst millions and millions of men and women, maybe one. Now what is the situation? 5,000 years down the road, the numbers are decreasing. So, but still, the fact doesn't change. The purpose of life is still reglio. Reglio. I'm speaking Latin now. I'm not saying religion. Reglio. Appearing to be an educated man. Reglio. Ah. Yoga. Probably say yoga. He wouldn't say yogi. Yoga. It's a Bengali accent. They pronounce the Y like J. Yoga. When Prabhupada first said that, when he first came to the temple, I turned to my god, like, what's he talking about? Yoga. Yoga. He said, yoga. Oh, yoga. Yoga. What brings one, after millions of years of forgetfulness, what brings one to yoga? What brings one to reglio? What inspires one to reestablish that long-lost relationship? It's an interesting thing, actually, to discuss. Like, at what point do you turn around and start going back home? Basically, that's what it is. At what point do you just say, I've had enough, and you turn around and you start walking in the right direction? What inspires someone to do that? Well, Krishna discusses the point, because it's so interesting, it's so important, that Krishna covers it. He covers it all. Chatur didha bhajante mam jnana sukritino arjuna. Ator jignashur artati jnanicha bharatashama. Yes. Oh, best amongst the bharats, 4 kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service to me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the curious, and he who is searching for knowledge. Everyone in this room falls into one of those categories. You can't escape. Maybe, okay, a 5th category, prasadam. Come on, admit it. How did you, like, what attracted you about religion, food? Like, holla! This is how we initiate the process. This is the beginning. We show up at the temple, we visit a devotee's house, because, you know, we're looking for knowledge, we're thinking we can get some material benefit out of it, we're curious, we're in distress. And most people come because they're in distress, Prabhupada pointed out. Most of us come because we are looking for shelter. The first article I ever wrote in my life, before even the diary, was called Give Me Shelter. The BTG asked me, I was traveling through Los Angeles, would you like to write an article? I'm not a writer. I don't know how to write anything. I used to fail in, you know, English, not fail, but almost, school. No, you're, you know, so I wrote, Give Me Shelter. On the principle of, you know, we're all looking for shelter in this world, and the only real shelter is Krishna consciousness. So this is why we come, but Prabhupada's always quick to point out that these are the beginning stages of religion, and they don't constitute the perfection of religion. There's also some little motivation there. But we know, we've learned in Krishna consciousness in the first week of the Bhakta class that, you know, devotional service really means not to ask anything for God except for devotional service, just to do a little service. We don't pray like we used to, if you were a Christian, for material benedictions. One of the first verses, every shloka wala knows, he's got under his belt. Prabhupada said, if you can quote a verse, memorize a verse and quote it 7 times, it's yours! That verse is yours. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kapicham bhada gadisha kamae. Mama janmani janmani shabhavata bhakti haitikita. That's my verse. It's also yours. This land is my land. This land is your land. That's American. Anyway. These are our verses. This is our sustenance of life. This is our nourishment, the philosophy. Knowledge, of course, we hanker to learn, to study, to practice, to realize this knowledge. As the moon is the ornament of the dark night, as a pious wife is the ornament of her husband, as a righteous king is the ornament of his country, so knowledge is the ornament of everything. The Prabhupada said, my only complaint is my disciples don't read my books. But this is our Raja Vidya Raja Guyam, king of all education. So we learn. Anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karma navitam anukalena krishna shlanam bhakti rutam. That the essence of religion is not to ask Krishna for anything, just little service. That you have the right to ask for. Like a child, he has the right to ask his father for basic sustenance. It's understood. So we have the right to ask Krishna one thing. Sir. Yes. A little service. All right. Clean the floor.
Whoa!
Cleaning the floor of the temple, devotee considers that more valuable than being a CEO of some big, big company. Or being a big rock star, making millions of pounds by singing. He thinks that is more important, just to take the room and clean the Lord's floor. You may not get any pounds or shillings from that, but you'll get, what does Krishna say? A little bit of advancement on this path of Krishna consciousness saves one from the greatest fear. That is, to lose the opportunity of Krishna consciousness, which is only available in the human form of life. This little service guarantees you, next lifetime, a human birth, at least. If not better. What's better? To become demigod. It's one of the 400,000 species. From demigods to monkeys. Or somewhere in between. Prabhupada wrote to Jayananda, posthumous letter, that I thank you, you know, you have passed away now. I'm missing you, my disciple. Remember you gave me the $10,000 to print the Nectar of Devotion. He said, if you have any amount of material desire left in your heart when you died, you didn't cheto, dharpa, namarja, cleanse the heart enough, then you've gone to Svargalok, to live with the demigods. There you can fulfill those last desires, but in a nice environment. Not this cold, chilly, dark weather in Coventry. Ooh. Ooh. Gray skies. No. You can fulfill those desires, but in a civilized place. You know, devotees. You fulfill them. But most important, he said, that, and from there you can transfer yourself to Vaikuntha. You go on with your devotional service in that nice environment. And from there you practice Krishna consciousness and you go. He said, but, because you were hearing the chanting of Hare Krishna when you died, I say, you went to Krishna Loka. Now, just like Krishna promises in this verse, he promises, he doesn't break his promise. So when a pure devotee, the Lord says something, for us that's absolute truth. His speech is as good as Shastra, because he's realized. Shastra is to help us become enlightened. And when an enlightened soul speaks, his words are as good as Shastra. We consider the poems, the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Thakur, to be as good as Shastra. So Prabhupada said, I say, you went to Krishna Loka. And what was that? What chanting did Jayananda Prabhu hear at the moment of death? Everyone had gone to Mangalarti. He had leukemia, and he was close to death, so every morning, most of the day, devotees were surrounding him, having kirtan. But the Mangalarti conch blew. They were in a little room across from the other side of the street, an apartment building. They heard the conch blow inside the temple room. So everyone, Jayananda said, just go. So everyone left. There was a tape recorder playing, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He heard a tape recording of Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada writes that the chanting of Hare Krishna is always beneficial. But one should be try to hear that chanting from the lips of a pure devotee. A tape recording. In India, we say, like, you go like this. Where is that person? He left this place, they say, in Vrindavan. I went to see one friend, an old man. He wasn't there. Where is he? I thought he was telling me to get out. He left this place. Where did he go? In South Africa, they say he's late. He's late. I came to see one family. Where's the grandfather? He's late. What time's he coming back? He's late. Straight down the road, man. You turn left at the robot. And you power off your phone, they say. I do what? Power off your phone. Power off my phone. Turn it off. Power it on, power it off. Everyone has their little signs. So we know the nature of divine love. We're striving for that. Arajo Bhagavan Vajesha Panayatadama Vrindavanam Ramyakacha Upasana Bharaja Vadhu Vargina Yakalpita. From the mouth of Mahaprabhu, Krishna, the son of the king of Braja, is the most worshipable person of all. And so is his abode of Vrindavan. The topmost form of worshiping him is the mood exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan. Of all the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis are considered the best because they give up everything for Krishna, even their reputation. People can give up so many things, but it's hard to give up your reputation. They give that up. So this initial stage was Krishna. That's why Bhagavad Gita's ABCs. And Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamritas XYZ. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And what's the next part? You don't know it either. You're Indian. The Bhagavad Gita's ABCs, it's the introduction to Krishna consciousness, and X, Y, Z is Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. In particular, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, that was his favorite book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, ABCs, people approach me out of distress, they're looking for wealth, they're curious, they're looking for knowledge. But XYZ, as you learn from the Bhagavatam, means to have no motivation in your service to Krishna, except to please Krishna. And that, where's the example? Example's higher than precept. The residents of Vrindavan, and the best is the gopis. So, but still, don't get discouraged. Who in this room came to the temple? What are you doing here? Anubilasita sunyam anukamaka shilanam bhakti uttama. Did you come? What brought you to the movement? Oh, I wanted to be like the gopis. No, we came because we were crying, we were suffering, like Rupa Goswami says. My dear Lord, I'm drowning in the fathomless whirlpool of material existence. Please, just this one time, extend your hand to save me. That's Rupa Goswami. That's where we're at right now. We're drowning in the fathomless whirlpool of material existence. Please, Krishna, please, just extend your hand to save me. What is that extension of Krishna's mercy? It's the association of devotees. Just as the dawn precedes the rising of the sun globe, so the mercy of the devotee precedes the mercy of God. Through the devotee, we learn how to approach God, how to serve God. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the point is not, we shouldn't be searching for God, we should be searching for someone who can take us to God. That's his instructions. So we came with ulterior motives, so we're not considered pure devotees when we come, but that's okay. That's okay. Confucius said the longest journey begins with the first step. Coming in like that, it's okay. At least you got in here somehow. You got your foot in the door. And then you learn through the association what is the proper motivation. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. Who could have approached the Lord with a greater desire, material desire, than Dhruva Maharaj? You know the story. He was insulted by his father, the king, and he took off and, you know, went to his mom and he said, Mom, I want to show my daddy up. What do you want to do? I want to get a kingdom bigger than his. He's so proud of his big old kingdom. I'm going to get a bigger kingdom than his. So how do we do it, Mom? Do you have any money you can... Mommy, can I have... She said, that's a big... You're biting off a big chunk there, boy. Where do I get a king? Well, you can ask God. He owns everything. Maybe he'll give you a little piece. So he said, where do I find God? And she was a simple woman. She said, well, you know, I don't really know, but I know the yogis, they go to the forest to find him. So maybe that's where he's hiding. So he went to the forest and he performed severe penance and austerity. So much he endeared himself to Vishnu, to the Supreme Lord who appeared before him. And when he appeared, Dhruva was dumbstruck. Wow. Krishna. You're so beautiful. And he realized that Krishna's association was much more valuable than any material benediction. He penned that famous verse, Stana bilasi tapasis dito mam tapaptavam deva munindavuyam kacham vichivana pidivyaratnam swamin kritatosmi varam layashe. Oh my Lord, because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe penances and austerities. But now that I've got you, who were very difficult for even great demigods and saintly persons to attain, wow, I can realize I was searching after a broken piece of glass, but instead I found a most valuable jewel. You're the jewel, Krishna. Therefore, hey, I'm so satisfied, I'm not even going to ask you for a benediction. And Krishna said, still, what do you want? I just want you. I can just be with you, play with you, dance with you, eat with you. This whole material thing is disgusting, as Bilamangal Thakur said. Now that I become Krishna conscious and I'm enjoying an ever-increasing rasa with you, Krishna, when I think back what I used to do before I was a devotee, I spit at the thought. We have to come to the stage when we think about material things, kaput. I'm not going to spit because it's very gross, but, you know, material life is gross. So when any thought comes to the mind, lust, material possessions, prestige, you say to the dog, some beautiful crow comes in your mind, not, come on. In America, they had a campaign against drugs, so they wanted a slogan, you know, like, catchphrase. The catchphrase was, just say no. When the drug pusher approaches you at school or on the street corner after class is over, here's the catchphrase for this campaign by the American government. Just say no. So when material desires come in your mind, just say, no thanks. No, not interesting. But you can't give up something unless you get something better. So you can't say no unless you're chanting 16 rounds every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You won't have the higher taste. You won't have the strength to resist Maya unless you take the prescription, which is a certain. And if you chant more, all the better. The more you're protected. And what's more than that, the better chance you have for reviving that dormant sense of Krishna consciousness, connecting regularly with Krishna. Everything is there in the Maha Mantra. Everything is there in the Maha Mantra. So that will come. We'll go beyond the stage of just asking, and then we'll just want to give. We did a wedding the other day, and we'll probably mention it tomorrow too, at Gaurangi's wedding. The success of any relationship is to give more than you receive. If both friends, if both husband and wife, if both partners, if both citizens, whatever, or us with God, if we're thinking of giving more than we're receiving, then the relationship will work. So these things, this is the subtle science of Krishna consciousness. We have to discuss over and over and over. Most people, they haven't got a clue what religion is. Not a clue. And therefore there's a big turnover, a lot of attrition in religious, because they're not getting that padam drishta nivartante, which comes from selfless service to Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. Actually, religion becomes like a business. People use religion to fulfill their material desires. They use religion as a business. Prabhupada told the story one time, there was a young boy who entered into a store, and the guys in the store were like really conniving. It's a store in India. And he was a real innocent, like kind of a cowherd boy. He came from a village, and his mom sent him into town to buy something. So he's like all eyes. A lot of money. And he walked into the store, and there were three salesmen. And they were like, they'd scope people out when they'd come in, and they had these kind of words that they would use, kind of code words they would use to, you know, identify the opportunity to get as much money out of the customer as possible. So when the boy walked in, he was a village boy, you know, he comes from a Krishna conscious family, and the first salesman said, Gopal! The boy said, well, I came to the right store. And the next man said, Madhusudan! Well, I really came to the good store. And the last man said, Hari! He said, yeah, here's all my money. Mommy gave me all this money. And she wants this and that. And they're quoting all these exorbitant prices. And he got cheated. And he came home. Gave all that money, came home with practically nothing. So then the mother said, what in the world has taken? What store did you? Oh, Mommy, they were really, really pious guys. They said, Gopal, Madhusudan, and Hari. And she was smart, streetwise. She said, you foolish little rascal. They're just tricking. That was their code words. When you came in, they said, Gopal. It meant, here's a young boy. We can trick him. He's just a kid. And the other guy said, what? Madhusudan. Yes, husband of the goddess of fortune. He's got lots of money. And what the third guy said? He said, Hari, yes, take everything away. Hari means he who takes everything inauspicious away. So they're chanting the names of God. Gopal, Madhusudan, Hari. But they have some material motivation. The Christians say, don't take the name of God in vain. But people are using religion like this. So it's all topsy-turvy. Topsy-turvy. So we have to set things right. We have to explain the correct philosophy. Siddhanta. Yes, okay, you can approach God when you first come for these material things. Akama sevakamo va, mokshakamu dariji. However you approach Him, it's good, because by His association you become purified. But don't stay in that immature state. Just like parents, they love their babies. That little baby, that little in the cute jeans, what was her name? She was just here. Anyone know that mother's baby's name?
Nadia.
Nadia. Good name. So little Nadia is so cute, but her mother, you know, I mean, what could be cuter than little Nadia, 13 months old, I remember. 13 months old. But, like, the mother doesn't want it to stay like that. You know, 16 years from now, she doesn't want the child to still look 13 weeks old. Oh my God, what kind of, I have some kind of problem, doctor. She's 16 years old and she's only so many ounces. No, the mother expects the child will grow. She accepts her in her immature state. But the real fun comes when the child grows up and there's a deep relationship between, the child becomes an adult and then mom and her have a very mature relationship, right? Some of you girls have grown up and you were also, you know, wetting your diapers and mommy was changing and it was all fun for mommy. But she doesn't want you to wet your diapers now. She wants you to help around the house and discuss life and work on projects and go to the temple like that. So the same way, the Lord and the Lord's representative, the spiritual master, they, yes, come into the fold of Krishna consciousness and we learn the verses and we start chanting and that, but the real happiness for the spiritual master is to see the disciple mature in Krishna consciousness, grow, come to the point of, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. This is the best offering we can make to our guru. On his Vyasa Puja, we bring lots of donations for the Polish tour. Got that? Okay. But really what the guru is wanting is our surrender. Because he's taken charge of us. His responsibility is to deliver us back to the lotus feet of Krishna. That's his responsibility. So if he can fulfill his responsibility to his guru, Dikyacha, everything's okay. So how do we get that greed? How do we go from walking in the doorstep, hey, this is cool, you got any good food here, you guys? To the point of crying for Krishna. From Shraddha to Prem. How do we get from Shraddha to Prem? Well, Prabhupada has said, by lolium, by developing greed, spiritual greed. How do you get that spiritual greed? You have to associate with those who have it. That's the idea. That's how you get it. It's by association. Association. Prabhupada said he created the International Society of Krishna Consciousness for the purpose of association. Because in any instance, in any assembly of devotees, you'll find devotees who are less advanced than you. Look around. You'll find devotees in the same level of advancement, and you'll find devotees who are more advanced. In any assembly of God's devotees, you'll find less advanced, as advanced, and more advanced. And we take the associate, we serve the devotees who are less advanced, we bring them up to our level, and we make deep friendship with those who are on the same level of Krishna consciousness. We have our close-knit friends, and we serve those who are more advanced because those devotees are very willing to share everything they have with us. So that we need that greed. We need that association, just like Prabhupada said about the principle of association. He said it's more dangerous for one to associate with someone who's attached to a woman than the woman herself. We're speaking about mundane things here. A man may be lusty, or a monk. It's more dangerous to associate with a man who has lusty desires for ladies than a lady herself. So we're speaking about the street people. In the same way Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, it's more beneficial to associate with the devotees who attach to God than God himself. So what does it mean to associate with Srila Prabhupada, who has that deep attachment? I saw it on a number of occasions. I saw Prabhupada manifest ecstatic symptoms of love. I saw the tears shoot from his eyes like that. Not like this, but like that. I saw him tremble. I saw his hair stand on end. when he was singing Jai Radha Madhava, and when he was in Mayapur one time, he was glorifying Lord Chaitanya, and he went into trance. 2,000-3,000 devotees, nobody knew what to do. So one sannyasi just started chanting, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta. And Prabhupada woke up. And he said, chant Hare Krishna. Then he went to his room. So, how to associate? Dadvidi paripatena paripashana sevaya upadekshanti teginam ganinastat vidarshana. We associate in the beginning by inquiry, kayami, sir, who am I? And what is my duty to Krishna? And he'll explain all these philosophies. Paripashana sevaya. You do some service. It's through the inquiry and through service. And that service is transcendental. It means even in the, if the spiritual master is far away, or even if the spiritual master has departed, as is the case with my spiritual master, the connection is never broken. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. A Vaishnav dies to live, and while living tries to spread the holy name around. So relationship with Guru is eternal relationship. Prabhupada said he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So we are all followers of Srila Prabhupada. We are either first generation or second generation. We are either, he is either our spiritual father or our spiritual grandfather. But the, because it's a transcendental relationship, it's very dynamic. And we can all benefit from that in every way by following Prabhupada's instructions. The dearest of all, to him, is to help him in his missionary activities. Prabhupada gave his heart and soul to follow the instructions of his Guru Maharaj to spread Krishna consciousness in English-speaking language. That was his desire till his dying breath. And if we help him in our own capacity, we all, to each his own, we all have different abilities, from sannyasis to mommies to grandpas to brahmacharis to babies, whatever. We all help. That's Samkirtan. Samkirtan means the complete glorification of the Lord. If we all facilitate, then we're having that Sangam of Prabhupada. We're getting that association, and we'll become enlivened in Krishna consciousness more and more. And then we'll join Prabhupada one day back home, back to Godhead in the spiritual world. So that's the story from Shraddha to Prema. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gopinandi.